It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A global mask shortage is putting healthcare workers on the front lines at risk. Some West Virginians are taking matters into their own hands.
You know, as a nurse, I never dreamed that we would even be considering using a fabric mask. However, you know, with the pandemic, we just don't know.
And we learn how grandparents are coping with the coronavirus. This is West Virginia Morning. Across the country, medical professionals fighting the coronavirus pandemic are struggling to get their hands on protective gear, things as basic as goggles, gloves, and masks. Some groups in West Virginia are taking matters into their own hands, something familiar to this region, and are hand-making face masks. Folkways reporter Caitlin Tan has the story.
During the first week of West Virginia's mandated social distancing, Stacy Grubb put a call out on her Facebook offering to hand-make masks. She's a mom of four who lives in Raleigh County. Within 3 days, she had almost 200 likes and nearly 100 comments and made more than 100 masks, including 24 for the McDowell County Health Department.
I'm thinking, this can't be real, you know? Like, how is it that this can possibly be real, that hospitals are asking people to sew masks?
Grubb is following a pattern recommended by health officials online, using two materials, 100% cotton and 1/8 to 1/4 inch elastic. Each mask takes her about 20 minutes. Although the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says it can't classify cotton masks as personal protective equipment and that medical professionals should only use them as a last resort. And Grubb says that makes her nervous.
So all of these doubts start clouding in my mind. Like, what if I'm doing more harm than good?
But medical professionals are facing the reality that in order to treat patients with the coronavirus, they might have to wear homemade masks that are not medical grade, leaving them exposed to the virus themselves. Sydney McElroy, a family physician and assistant professor in Huntington, says in the past she treated patients in developing countries. And there, she says, she expected a lack of medical supplies.
I really never dreamed. I trained here. I grew up. I lived most of my life in Huntington. I never thought I would be in that situation here.
But the coronavirus is causing a nationwide shortage of supplies. Initially, it was caused by the general public mass buying and hoarding face masks. But now, according to the Institute for Supply Management, global companies that U.S. hospitals rely on for masks are overwhelmed. The Institute's survey reported that in late February and early March, 75% of those companies' supply chains were disrupted, and almost half did not have a plan to deal with it. And although there is a federal stockpile of medical supplies, as well as a federal Defense Production Act that could force American industry to mass produce supplies, President Trump has been hesitant to tap those resources. And McElroy says that concerns her.
If you're relying on whether it be the state or the federal government to provide whatever it is we need in that crisis, you have to make sure that they are paying attention to you and they hear you and they value your voice. And I think, unfortunately, that isn't always true for rural areas of the country in general. But specifically, I feel that way for West Virginia a lot.
So with no alternatives, medical facilities in West Virginia are calling out for homemade masks. And people all across the state are responding, all on their own expense. In Morgantown, a local suit and tailor store, Daniels of Morgantown, donated over 400 masks to Cardinal Pediatrics, WVU Medicine, and Mon General. There's groups in Shepherdstown, Pocahontas County, Elkins, just to name a few, all making masks and raising awareness through Facebook. But perhaps the largest movement has come from the West Virginia Mask Army, a Facebook page created March 20th with now over 1,500 followers and receiving national attention. And although these masks can't replace a medical-grade version, they're a step up from the 100% cotton variety, according to Suzanne Strait. She's a professor of biological sciences at Marshall University in Huntington and the founder of the Mask Army Coalition.
We needed something that actually had some filtration capability better than cotton, and we came up with the concept of using good high-end furnace filters that actually are known to at least filter some viruses and particles.
The masks are made out of a furnace filter, elastic, and a pipe cleaner or twist tie, which helps shape the mask over one's nose. Medical centers in Washington state are using a similar model. Over 2 days, Strait says she and her team worked closely with the Charleston Area Medical Center, who approved the design.
We would much rather have these than the cotton ones, yes. There is some question about, you know, you don't really normally on a day-to-day life want to be cutting up and wearing a furnace vest because they're not designed for that. And with the edges where you cut it, little particles can come out.
And these particles can include polyester, which is classified as a microplastic, and when inhaled are very hard for the body to get rid of, potentially leading to respiratory and cardiovascular disease.
But the difference between that risk and the risk of a virus is kind of a very, you know, we're living in different times. We have to be creative.
So as of now, most medical centers are requesting the homemade masks, both the furnace filter or cotton models, as a preemptive measure. Kelly Anderson, a registered nurse and CAMC's director of volunteer services, says they have enough medical grade masks for now.
You know, as a nurse, I never dreamed that we would even be considering using a fabric mask. However, you know, with the pandemic, we just don't know. And so anything will be more helpful than nothing.
As a way to extend the life of the medical grade masks, Anderson says some staff are wearing the homemade variety over the top, which can then be cleaned. But cleaning is an issue too. One website says to hand wash in warm water with soap and no bleach. Another recommends hot or cool water with a small amount of detergent. Stacy Grubb, the mother making masks in Raleigh County, says she read to wash on a hot sanitizing cycle, a hot rinse, a hot dry, and then repeat the three steps again. Sydney McElroy, the physician in Huntington, says the effective way to wash the masks is unclear.
If you don't wash them appropriately and then let them dry, you can actually store pathogens in the material.
But McElroy says cotton masks are certainly better than just bandanas, which is what the CDC is recommending medical professionals use as a backup. So not knowing yet whether there will be a need, West Virginians keep sewing masks. And Stacy Grubb says that's something that's uniquely Appalachian. Even if there's no outside help, people out here just have a way of making do. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Charleston.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warns that older adults and people with underlying chronic health conditions are at increased risk for serious illness from coronavirus. West Virginia has the highest percentage of at-risk adults of any state in the country. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin offered advice on social media. He wrote, "Families shouldn't visit vulnerable grandparents at this time," something he acknowledged would be difficult for West Virginians. But what happens when grandparents are the parents? Social distancing becomes impossible for thousands of children who rely on their grandparents every day. Emily Corio reports on how grand families are dealing with the new threat of coronavirus.
It was 3 minutes before midnight when the text from Gigi Bays pinged on my cell. We'd been playing phone tag with voicemails and text all day. She apologized in her message for getting back to me so late. She was just sitting down after a busy evening, making dinner for her three grandchildren, getting the youngest to bed, and then cleaning the house. This grandma is not sitting in a rocking chair watching time pass. It's go, go, go.
I was just so tired all the time. I really thought I'd developed narcolepsy. I mean, I was falling asleep. My doctor did tests and they just said, no, you're just so long-term sleep deprived that your body's just trying to steal every little second it can get.
That was back when Bays worked various shifts as a pharmacy technician at a hospital in Charleston and was raising young grandkids. Things are a bit more manageable now since she left that job, and her grandchildren are older, now 12, 6, and 4. But at 60 years old, she still has a full schedule, working, parenting, and now keeping coronavirus out of her home. She says she's using lessons from her days in the pharmacy to keep her house clean.
Let's go back to, like, I'm working in the IV room mode, you know, where every single thing we touch, you know, has to be sterilized.
Bays is on the cusp of the population that's most at risk of serious illness from the coronavirus. This includes people 65 years or older, those living in nursing homes, and those with certain chronic diseases, including lung disease, moderate to severe asthma, and serious heart conditions, among others. Bonnie Dunn leads a program in West Virginia called Healthy Grand Families. The aim is to help grandparents who are back in the parenting role. She says getting sick or even dying is one of the biggest fears grandparents that she's talked to have, even before the threat of coronavirus.
If it's a great-great-grandparent, and we had four great-greats in the program over the age of 80 who were raising great-greats under the age of 10, you have to be real about it. Life's short at that point.
Dunn says through the Healthy Grand Families program, grandparents make contingency plans, learn how to navigate school, technology, and state resources. They also learn that many other grandparents in the state share stories of losing an adult child to the opioid epidemic. Now, Dunn says, the program's recent statewide launch comes at a critical time because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Quite honestly, Emily, I guess our program getting up and running and established in 55 counties was quite timely given where we are right now, because there is a structure in place to get help to these families.
The structure includes a Healthy Grand Families program coordinator in every county. Julia Hamilton serves in this role for Monongalia County. She's ready to answer the call of grandparents who need help.
The idea of facing the next who knows how long as being the only one who's interacting with your grandkids, I would imagine we might get a phone call or two about that. Yes.
West Virginia is in its third week with schools and daycares closed. Some grandparents continue to work, though, including Anita DeWitt, who's caring for three grandchildren. DeWitt works in Billing at a hospital. She's not worried about her own health, but she is worried for her 73-year-old mother-in-law, who also lives with them and takes care of the grandchildren while DeWitt and her husband work. So they're taking precautions.
Showering as soon as we walk in the door and making sure we're washing our hands as much as we can when we're at work, and, you know, not letting anybody out of the house and making sure my mother-in-law stays in.
At a press conference where Governor Jim Justice announced schools would close, he cited the health of the state's elderly population as one reason.
We're an older state, and the elderly is where this monster attacks.
And in West Virginia, 29,000 children are being raised by grandparents, according to the Annie E. Casey Foundation's Kids Count data. For many of West Virginia's kids, grandparents are the only caregivers they have. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Corio.
For information on Healthy Grand Families, visit our website at wvpublic.org. Or you can call 211 and tell the operator you are a grandparent who needs resources for raising your grandchildren. The operator will use your zip code to connect you to the coordinator in your county. Here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we're asking our listeners and viewers to reach out to us and share stories of hope, inspiration, and resilience in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. In Shepherdstown, Jefferson County, we heard last week from Carl Johnson. He and his wife started a local initiative there calling Hot Meals for WV Heroes. They've been providing hot meals to frontline healthcare workers. Carl emailed us a voice memo, and here's what he had to say.
And we're providing everything from pizzas to Thai food and Indian food to hot subs to burritos, with two goals. One, we want to make sure that all the healthcare workers out there that are putting themselves in danger to make sure we're safe, the least we can do is make sure they're fed. We keep hearing their morale is really poor right now. And every time they get a hot meal delivered to them, we get a thank you note of saying how much they really, really appreciate the gesture. And our second goal is to make sure the small restaurants that are really getting decimated in our communities right now are getting supported too. So we're raising funds from the community, using those funds to pay local small restaurants that work with us to you know, make great food and then deliver that food to our frontline healthcare workers at hospitals, EMS stations, and nursing homes, etc. Really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
That was Shepherdstown resident Carl Johnson, who started Hot Meals for WV Heroes. They have a Facebook page with the same name if you want to check them out. If you have a story of hope or resilience in the face of COVID-19, please share your story with us. You can email a voice memo to klofton@wvpublic.org, or you can leave a voicemail on our tip line at 1-800-633-4560. And thank you. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. The show today was produced by Brittany Patterson. I'm Teresa Wills.